السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Thank you brother Mehdi, thank you sister Atiyah Taqi, mashallah, very beautiful, like daughter, like father, mashallah, very eloquent and true. There are so many people who label themselves as scholars where they don't know anything. Some label themselves as Islamists and they are far away from Islam. So unfortunately we have those things, you know, very common. We should label ourselves what is befitting for us. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Sallallahu alayka ya sayyidi wa ya mawlaya ya rasulallah. Sallallahu alayka ya sayyidi wa ya mawlaya ya aba abdillah. Ya rahmatallahi alwasi'ah wa ya bab najat al-ummah. Ya laytana kunna ma'akum sayyidi fanafuza fawzan azeema fi ziyaratin li sayyidina wa maulana abi abdillah as-sadiq alayhi salam لعمه العباس بن علي بن أبي طالب عليه السلام. السلام عليك أيها العبد الصالح المطيع لله ولرسوله ولأمير المؤمنين وللحسن والحسين عليهم السلام. صدق مولانا أبي عبد الله الصادق عليه السلام.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
علي بن أبي طالب عليه السلام has done everything that was in his disposal, whatever that he could, through planning and reviewing and forthcoming in new bloods to the Battle of Karbala. He wanted to make sure that the revolution of Karbala to be the utmost successful revolution. Therefore, from the very outset, he carefully designed and reviewed and put forward the bloods that will fight in the Battle of Karbala. Among those bloods, or chief among them, the most significant one was Al-Abbas ibn Ali alayhi salam. Al-Abbas is the graduate of the school of Ali ibn Abi Talib. He's the alumni, he's the fruit of this school that has produced to the humanity people and individuals such as Salman al-Farisi, Ammar ibn Yasir, Maytham al-Tammar, Malik al-Ashtar, al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad. Those personalities that after 1400 years of the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib, today we memorialize the name of Ali ibn Abi Talib and his household are thanks to those great personalities. If it were not those personalities, we will not be able today to commemorate Ashura. It were those who continued, who assured the continuous and the eternal nature of movement of Ali ibn Abi Talib. But my talk tonight is about the personage of Abul Fadl Abbas alayhi salam. But when you look at the critics, those who analyze history, they tell you that Al-Abbas was a figure in the Battle of Karbala. Now, most of us come to know him through the battle, through the epic and saga of Ashura. Many people don't know about his background or how did he live majority of people. Many people complain, even say that we only get to know such great personality only within, you know, a few hours in one day, and that was Ashura. Also about Imam Hussein, many followers, many critics, many people say that we only come to know an Imam al-Hussein only in the last few months or last year of his life, and only a few years at the advent of Islam, when he was little baby, a little child, and he used to be cherished by his grandfather. But from 6 years old or 7 years old all the way to 57 years old, we don't have much information, and it's true. We don't have much information. Why? For two reasons. Number one is the fact that those great personalities are always overshadowed by a greater personality before them. Al-Abbas alayhi salam used to live under the shadow of two infallibles who happened to be his brothers, and another infallible who happened to be his father. So definitely, when there is an infallible, when there are three infallibles before him, the lights always goes toward them. And he shows his subordination to them. The same thing with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. He was under the shadow of his older brother, Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam. And in return, Imam Hassan alayhi salam used to be under the shadow of his father. When you look at history, you will see that Imam al-Hassan alayhi salam's personality emerged after the martyrdom of his father. So it is natural that those great personalities, because that was an influx of great personalities during that time, their personalities, their personage was overshadowed and overlooked. That's number one. And second, in what time of history they were living? Look at the conditions that they lived. The hostile environment that they used to live in. When they lived, it was the time of Bani Umayyah. How was the relationship of Bani Umayyah toward Ahlul Bayt? It is very clear. Muawiyah himself, he sends a letter to all his governors everywhere in the Islamic state, telling them, tell people, بَرِئَةُ الدُّمَّةِ مَنْ يَذْكُرُ مَنْقَبَةً لِأَبِي تُرَاب. Anyone who even say a single word about Abu Turab. Who's Abu Turab? Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. He says, whoever talks about Abu Turab, even with a single hadith, praising Abu Turab, he's no more immunized. He doesn't have any insurance anymore. Meaning that I am ready to kill that person. In such environment, obviously people will keep quiet, would not be able to discuss that kind of personality. Therefore, when we see the personality of Al-Abbas alayhi salam has emerged in the battle of Ashura, many critics did not believe that. Many critics say that this is more close to a legend, a folklore, a myth, than reality. Why? Because they see, if you look at other civilizations, like a Greek civilization, Roman civilization, Persian civilization, these kind of things emerge because people are infatuated with their leaders, with their legendary leaders. Therefore, it is natural to say things that are not realistic. Why? So they patronize their own citizens. But in my talk, brothers and sisters, tonight, I'm not going to speak of those who have analyzed the personality of Al-Abbas alayhi salam, who were authors or were historians. I go straight to the word of the infallible. Infallible is completely different than people like me and historians. Why? Because ordinary people, even the historians, even the most knowledgeable people, when they write, always their emotions play an important role in writing history. If they love someone, if they're infatuated with someone, they praise him. They raise him to the top. If they don't like someone, they reduce him and overlook and underestimate him to the point of nothingness. But the infallible, the ma'soom, does not exaggerate, nor he tells a lie. When he says something, he's very precise, concise, and straight to the point. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Brothers, before we I continue because there are many people coming. Therefore, I would like to ask you, please, to stand up under the, when I mention the holy name of the Imam, and come forward to the podium. رحم الله من ذكر القائمة من آل محمد. Come closer, please, please, please. Here, here, closer to me. Closer to me. Alhamdulillah. So we can make some room for the newcomers. Again, صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is the infallible, is the sixth Imam. Therefore, when he goes to make salutation to his uncle Al-Abbas alayhi salam, he starts with this. Says, As-salamu alayka ayyuha al-abdu al-salih, al-muti'u lillahi wa lirasulihi wa li-amir al-mu'mineen wal-hasani wal-husayn. We have to pause on this. What does al-abdu al-salih mean? The righteous servant. Is that a big deal? Whom it depends on whom you're talking to, or who's the one who narrates this. When you look at the Holy Quran, you see this title. Remember the labeling that Sister Atiyah was talking about? The Almighty Allah labels certain people with this, Al-Abdu Salih, the servant, the slave of God. Who are those? I will mention some names for you. The ayah says in Surah Shura, it says, ذُرِّيَّةَ مَنْ حَمَلْنَا مَعَ نُوحٍ إِنَّهُ كَانَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Nuh, Shaykh al-Anbiya, the patriarch of the Anbiya, of the prophets. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not mention him under the name of messenger or prophet. Rather, he called him عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. A slave, a servant to God. Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَذْكُرْ عِبَادَنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. Those are our servants. Great personalities in history. Again, the Almighty refers to them as their servants. Again, وَذْكُرْ عَبْدَنَا دَاوُودَ ذَا الْأَيْدِي إِنَّهُ أَوَّابٌ. King David, according to the Jews. Nabiullah Dawood, again, the Almighty does not refer to him as a king or with his majestic title, rather with the servant, being a slave, showing servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. More than that, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ الْفُرْقَانَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا. Furqan is the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I descended this Holy Quran to my servant. Another one, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى. This ascension to the heaven, the Almighty does not bring any title. He mentions this fact, this label, this is the greatest label that anyone could be labeled with. It is called Abd. In our tashahhud, every day, what do we say? We say, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ اللَّهُمَّ صَلَّى عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدًا. First, we mention and bring the title of servanthood, then we say, وَرَسُولُهُ عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. The Prophet, peace be upon him, has gained the status that no one, no creature ever has gotten. And that is recited in the Holy Quran, written in the Holy Quran. When he got to the point that even angel Jibreel could not move with him. When he asked Jibreel, Akhi Jibreel, why don't you accompany me? He said, Ya Rasulallah, if I move 1 inch, I will be in flames. You have reached a point that no servant of God, no creature before you has reached, no other creature before, after you will get to. You are the only one. What has it? Listen to how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it. He says that in the ayah, it says, ثُمَّ دَنَا فَتَدَلَّا فَكَانَ قَابَ قَوْسَيْنَ أَوْ أَدْنَا فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. He does not bring any title of the Prophet. The only title that he uses is abd, servant, being in total subordination to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day the Prophet, peace be upon him, sitting on dirt on the ground, eating. A woman passed by him, looked at him, and told him, أَرَاكَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ تَجْلُسُ جَلْسَةَ الْعَبْدِ وَتَأْكُلُ أَكْلَةَ الْعَبْدِ. I see you like a slave, like a servant, sitting on the ground, eating like a slave. The Prophet looked at her and smiled, told her, وَيْحَكِي وَأَيُّ عَبْدٍ أَعْبَدُ مِنِّي. Have you seen a more servant to his Lord than me? Definitely, I am Abdullah. So the title here is Al-Abd. Therefore, Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, when he salutes, his uncle says, As-salamu alayka ayyuha al-abdu al-salih. Number one is the servants. You see in the dua and ta'qibat of salat, what do we say? We say, Astaghfirullah al-azim alladhi la ilaha illa huwa al-Rahman al-Hayy al-Qayyum wa atubu ilayh. توبة عبد ذليل خاضع فقير بائس مسكين مستكين مستجير لا يملك لنفسه نفعا ولا ضرا ولا موتا ولا حياة ولا نشورا. This is it. When we say abd, meaning it's something in the heart. It's a total belief, a deep belief. It's a state of conscious that from myself I have no power. I have no stature, I have no value, I am nothing but a servile, humble, subordinate, dependent, miserable, helpless, unfortunate, needy, destitute to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That should not be brought and mentioned by tongue, brothers and sisters. Rather, deep inside the heart. It is the conscience. When the conscience feels that way, we have reached the title and the label of abd and servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam demonstrated this into practice. He showed it to humanity. When he was brought to be thrown in the fire, in the cannon, the entire nation were against him, all on one side and Ibrahim on the other side. When they were about to throw him and launch this cannon inside the fire, Jibreel alayhi salam came to him. Ibrahim, do you need anything? Ibrahim asked him, from whom? You're asking me I need something, but from whom? From you? No, I don't need anything from you, because you're simply simple and helpless a creature like me. If you think that I will ask you, no, I don't have anything to ask you. Then ask Allah. No, don't ask me. Ask the Lord. He says, عِلْمُهُ بِحَالِي يُغْنِي عَنْ سَعَالِي. The fact that he knows my state and my position, needless for me to say what I need. If he wants me to be burned in the fire, let it be. If he wants to save me, let it be. I am in total servanthood and servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look at Al-Abbas alayhi salam, Al-Imam al-Sadiq describes how he showed his subordination to the Almighty. He says, Al-Muti'u lillahi wa lirasulih. He showed his subordination and servanthood to the God, to the Lord, and to the Prophet through what? Wal-Muti'u li amir al-mu'mineen wal-Hasan wal-Husayn. Following his leaders, being subordinate to his leaders. Those are three ones. This is how he showed his fact that he was a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. History narrates that not even a single time Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, when he used to call his brothers Hassan and Hussein, he would use their names. Not even a single time. Every time he will call them, he would say, Sayyidi, my master. My master, Aba Muhammad al-Hassan. My master, Aba Abdullah. Except one single incident. The history says that single incident when he fell from the horse. At that time, he declared, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Ya akhi, adrik akhak. Chase and come to the rescue of your brother. That was the only time that Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas alayhi salam used this word. So this is the first quality of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, that he showed his total servanthood and servitude to the Almighty. The second one, brothers and sisters, when someone becomes in such self-denial, in such a position that would not accept any mastery but the mastery of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards him with another feature. That feature is an acute discerning vision. A vision that can see far away. I'm not talking about the eyes. I'm talking about the heart and the mind, the conscience. It is those things that make you have a very acute vision that you can see the end result, no matter how far away. Maybe years from now, you will end up seeing the end result. You become certain. You reach the level of certainty. Al-Abbas alayhi salam used to have this quality. You see, brothers and sisters, there are multiple kind of people. One type is someone who doesn't see anything, only has a blurry vision. Cannot see anything in front of him. He only lives the moment, lives the day, only the hours. Therefore, you see he's wavering, changing positions, changing from this side to that side. Not sure. Always complicated. Where does this problem come from? From the fact that he does not have an acute vision. The Almighty Allah talks about those type of people. I've talked about them a couple nights ago. Those are that are called ghafilun, ghafilin, heedless. Here in Surah Yasin, the Almighty talks about them and says why they have become so heedless that they cannot see the future. It says, "Inna ja'alna fi a'naqihim aghlalan fahiya ila al-adhqani fahum muqmahun." There are chains, they're chuckled with chains, their hands and their necks. Their necks are chuckled with chains that they're always, their heads downward. They cannot see the front. Downward means what? Meaning only this earthly matter, only the worldly matter, only the material, the market, the money, the job. That's the only thing in their mind. Nothing beyond that. Then it says, وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ سَدًّا وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ سَدًّا فَأَخْشَيْنَاهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ. They cannot see anything. They cannot see their front. They cannot see history. Sometimes you look back, you look into history to learn. One beauty of history is that it becomes, you know, a learning lesson for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh, even for those people, I have a place, you know, a curtain that they cannot see. They're backward. They're nothing. They only live the moment. That's why you see that they change position. Today on this side, tomorrow on the other side. Umar ibn Sa'd, Shamr ibn al-Jawshan was one side, he changed. Ibn al-Muljam was one side, he changed to the other side. These are type of ghafilin. But someone who has acute vision, who reaches certainty, then his faith becomes solid, unwavering. Why? Because he knows the end result. He knows that 10 years from now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring him victory. 20 years from now, he will reach his destination. Therefore, he's unwavering. He continues on the straight path. Look at how Zayn al-Abidin alayhi salam described his uncle. He says, لَقَدْ كَانَ عَمِّيَ الْعَبَّاسِ نَافِذِ الْبَصِيرَةِ صَلِبِ الْإِيمَانِ. Number one, very acute vision. Strong vision that he can see the end result. When that happens, his faith becomes solidified. He will have a solid iman, unwavering. Therefore, when he was, you know, in the battle, and they cut his forearm, the right forearm, he recited this poetry, the Rajas. What did he say? He says, "Wallahi in qata'tumu yamini." If you cut my hand, then what? Inni uhami abadan andini. I am defending my faith. I am not defending my brother, my blood relationship. I am not looking at the biological relationship between me and my brother Hussein. I am defending my faith. Inni uhami abadan andini wa an imamin sadiq al-yaqini. I am defending a leader that was appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see, when he has such a strong vision, you know, his iman becomes so solid, unwavering, never blinking. It is narrated that on the eve of Ashura, Shimr ibn al-Jawshan brought an immunity letter from Ibn Ziyad to Al-Abbas and his brothers. He said, let me woo those and neutralize them, get them out of the battle, give me an immunity letter. Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad wrote a letter that asked him, you know, Abbas to get out of the battle and he will be safe. Shum came and declared, Aina banu ukhtina? Call our nephews. He was related to their mother. Al-Abbas didn't want to answer him, but Imam al-Husayn told him, go and answer. He's one of your kinship. You need to answer him. When Al-Abbas went and he got this letter, he took this letter, tore it apart, and brought it back to him, and told him, لَعَنَكَ اللَّهُ وَلَعَنَ أَمَانَكَ أَتُؤْمِنُنَا وَابْنُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ لَا أَمَانَ لَهُ. You give us immunity, but the son of the Prophet does not have any immunity. You see, this solid faith, it is narrated that this is standard, the flag that was at the hand of Al-Abbas alayhi salam in the battle, when Al-Abbas fell on the ground, this standard banner was all mutilated. Arrows have penetrated everywhere. You know, it was struck by swords, by arrows from every angle, every side. That banner was taken to Yazid. Yazid looked at this mutilated banner, except one place, and that was the grip handle, where the hand of Al-Abbas was there. It was all intact and immune. Meaning that the bearer of this kept it until the last moment. At that time, when Yazid looks at that, says, أَبَيْتَ اللَّعْنَ يَا عَبَّاسِ. Someone like you, no one can curse. فَمِثْلُكَ لَا يُشْتَمْ. Someone like you, I cannot say anything again. Because of your valor, because of your determination, and how much you stayed steadfast in your way. That was the second thing, brothers and sisters. The last feature of Al-Abbas alayhi salam was the fact that of his devotion and sacrifice. Sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
It is not new, not strange for someone like Al-Abbas to show that much of valor, loyalty, devotion, and sacrifice. Why? Because where did he grow up? He grew up in the household of Ali ibn Abi Talib and Fatima alayhi salam. Now, before him, before he was born, before his mother was married to his father, at the time, at the advent of Islam, when the household of Ali ibn Abi Talib were in Medina, that story that a few nights ago I talked about, when I was talking about the volunteering, you know, thing, I said that the household of Ali ibn Abi Talib, they had the opportunity when those three beggars came to ask them for food. You know, yatim, asir, and miskin. Those three ones who came to ask them, they took all their loaves of bread and gave it to those. Why did they do this? They had the chance to, you know, cut those loaves into two pieces and give one piece to them, and one piece they will keep it for themselves. But rather, they showed the ultimate sacrifice. Why would they do this? Because Ali ibn Abi Talib and Fatima know that some incident like Karbala is coming. If they don't show Hassan and Hussein al-Abbas in the future a sacrifice at the beginning, they will not be able to stay on their feet on that day. You see? So that was all carefully planned for the time, when the time is ripe, that Imam al-Hussein and his brothers all stand up and defend and sacrifice. You see, brothers and sisters, sometimes you want to teach your children, your child, about being nice or showing sacrifice. If you sit down and lecture them for hours and hours and hours, would not help as much as in a single incident that you put this into practice. When you tell him you need something, this is something very dear to you, but give it to the needy, for example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come to test to this fact. Says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبَرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. When there is something valuable to you, very precious to you, and you give that, in the way of God, you sacrifice that, that will have a value. Therefore, Al-Abbas was not strange to this family. He was brought into this family. After all, his father sacrificed his soul for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. On that night that the Prophet departed Mecca toward Medina, who slept in the, you know, in the bed of Rasulullah? Was Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. On that night, when Mushrikeen of Quraysh gathered, had their own warriors to come and attack the Prophet in his home. Now they were supposed to raid the home in the middle of night. Abu Lahab said, no, you cannot do it at midnight. Wait until dawn, because there are women, there are children in the house. You're going to terrify them. We only need to kill Muhammad. Therefore, be careful. So they waited until dawn came. Now when dawn came, Abu Jahl this time said, okay, when you get him, don't kill him right away, because Muhammad is sleeping. We want to terrorize him. We want to humiliate him. So first stone him. Hit him with a stone. Terrorize him first. Otherwise, if you kill him, he's sleeping. From sleep to sleep. We want to show him so he can taste the punishment. Wake him up and then kill him. When they got to the bed, they threw stone. Ali ibn Abi Talib emerged. They looked at Ali ibn Abi Talib. Where is your cousin? Told him, أَجَعَلْتُمُونِي حَارِسًا عَلَيْهِ. Did you place me as his guard? I am not spying on him or be his guard. I don't know where his whereabouts. That was, you know, at the advent of Islam, when he sacrificed his life toward his cousin, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. So it is Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So it is really not as strange that someone like Al-Abbas alayhi salam sacrificed his well-being, his thirst. Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, Wallah, لقد كان قلب عمي العباس كصالية الجمر من العطش. Like a burning coal from thirst when he went inside the river bank. Yet he did not. This is Al-Imam al-Sadiq, he swears by God that the heart of my uncle was like a burning coal, yet he did not taste the water. Where he says, يَا نَفْسُ مِنْ بَعْدِ الْحُسَيْنِ هُونِ وَبَعْدَهُ لَا كُنْتِ أَنْ تَكُونِي هَذَا الْحُسَيْنِ وَارِدَ الْمَنُونِ وَتَشْرَبِينَ مَا بَارِدَ الْمَعِينِ. What's the point that I survive and my leader dies? What's the point? It is narrated that at the time of the marriage of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam from Umm al-Baneen, he called upon his brother Aqil and told him, Ya Aqil, اخطب لامرأة ولدتها الفحولة من العرب. I want someone who's born into family with courage, with valor. Now we, as the followers of Ali ibn Abi Talib, know that he was infallible. He knows exactly which household, which family has such kind of, you know, lady inside. Why would he go and ask Aqil? For what reason he comes to ask Aqil to go and find? Well, people say that Aqil knew all those households. That's the truth. But his knowledge is not as accurate, as precise as the knowledge of Ali ibn Abi Talib. You see, brothers and sisters, in one incident, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى. What is in your hand, O Musa? Well, Musa had his stick. God didn't know what's in his hand. But why ask him, telling him what is in your hand? It's to signify the subject. To tell the people that this stick is very important, that will do something extraordinary. The same thing Ali ibn Abi Talib is asking his Aqil, so it gets registered in history. So after millennia, after centuries, we recognize why Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas was born. For what reason? Who was born to sacrifice his life for his brother. You see, brothers and sisters, when is the birthday of Imam al-Hussein? Which day he was born? He was born 3rd of Sha'ban. Which day Al-Abbas was born? Fourth of Sha'ban. Like a shadow. A sacrifice from the very, very beginning. When he was born, the one who gave the news, the good tiding to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam was al-Husayn himself. He went inside the masjid and said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Inna Umm al-Baneen waladat Badra. A full moon is born. Umm al-Baneen gave birth to a full moon. Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam looked at al-Husayn, told him, Waladi Aba Abdullah, Bashir bihi nafsak. This good news is for you. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مَا خَلَقَهُ إِلَّا لِنُصْرَتِكَ He was born so he can defend you. He was born so he can sacrifice his life to you. You all have heard this narration. When he was born, Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam grabbed him, then he grabbed his hands, this little arm of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas, and kissed him. Imam Hassan alayhi salam also kissed that hand. Imam Hussein alayhi salam kissed that hand. Umm al-Baneen was panicked, told him, why you kiss this hand? There is something wrong with this hand? He said, no, there is no birth defect with this hand. Rather, I know what will happen to these arms in the battle of Karbala. Those will be amputated. Those will be mutilated. Well, at that time, Umm al-Baneen have known, knew what will happen. Why did she stay? She could have easily said, this is your own trouble. This is your own problem. I can take my children and leave. Why did she stick? This is another sacrifice that his mother Umm al-Baneen did. She knew that this man is sacrificed for Al-Husayn ibn Ali. Therefore, she gave the sacrifice to Zainab to raise. Zainab was a nanny to him, was a sister to him, was a mother to him. Every time she would see Ali ibn Abi Talib, tells him this story. Tell him, Ya Aba, Mali Ara Qalbi Ta'allaqa Bihadha Al-Qulam. Every time that passes, I see that I am very close to this. I am so attached to this little baby, this little boy. I cannot leave him. Look at what the Imam alayhi salam says, Ta'allaqi Bihi. He gets more attached. Innahu Kafiluki. He's going to be your sponsor tomorrow. Tomorrow, he's going to be your sponsor. He will take you. When you leave Medina, he will be with you. But when you return, you're going to return alone to Medina. She said, why that? Why would he leave me? أَتْرُكُهُ أَمْ يَتْرُكُنِي Who's going to leave whom? She said, no, Zainab, you're going to leave him on the river, on the river bank while his hands are amputated. That was the word of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. The devotion. What did he get in return, brothers and sisters? I need to conclude. Al-Abbas alayhi salam got four things very quickly. Number one is the valor, the courage, the stamina that he had. You see, when he went to fight in the battle, Imam Hussein didn't want him to fight. Why? Imam Hussein is telling him, Abbas, don't go. For what reason don't go? He says that, أَنْتَ صَاحِبُ لِوَائِي You are the standard bearer of my army. وَكَبْشُكَ فِي كَتِيبَتِي وَقَائِدُ عَسْكَرِ You are my commander. Now, he says that you are my commander for the army commander. Which army was there? They were only by themselves, Abbas and Hussein. Why would Hussein say that you are the commander of my army? Meaning that all my trust, all my stamina depends on you, Abbas. If you go, my back will be broken. Therefore, when Abbas was killed, the first thing that Imam Hussein says, Al-an inkasara dhahri. I lost my back. All the children, all the camp, they were taken morale. Their morale was at the hand of Al-Abbas alayhi salam. Therefore, when he was martyred, that word came from Al-Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam says, Al-yawma namat a'yunun bika lam tanam. Today the eyes of Bani Umayyah had a resting peace. Today Bani Umayyah are sleeping very joyfully, sleeping with rest because they have killed you. Al-yawma namat a'yunun bika lam tanam. Wa tasahadat ukhra fa'azza manamuha. But the children of Fatima cannot go to sleep. Why? because you were the protector. You were the God, and now you are God. That was number one. Number two, here is Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam says, this is the second prize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. Says, رحم الله عمي العباس بن علي فلقد آثر وأبلى وفدى أخاه بنفسه حتى قطعت يده. He fought, sacrificed until he lost his four arms. Then what happened? In return, what he got? فأبدلهم الله فأبدلهم الله بهما بجناحين يطير بهما مع الملائكة في الجنة. God substituted two wings for him, that he will fly, soar with the angels in the heaven. What does this mean? Is this a realistic or, you know, figurative thing? Some scholars say this is a figurative thing. What does it mean that he has gotten a new wings? You see, brothers and sisters, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala magnifies his angels, say how they are good and important and have high values, he describes them in the number of wings. Someone who has two, four wings is more valuable than someone that has a three wings, which is more valuable than someone who has two wings. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, جَاعِلُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ رُسُلًا أُولِي أَجْنِحَةٍ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاعَ يَزِيدُ فِي الْخَلْقِ مَا يَشَاءُ. You see the ranking of the angels? As the wings goes up, their ranking goes up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is saying that this wing is a sign of high altitude. There is a beautiful words of Ali ibn Abi Talib, sallu ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Who says that Bani Adam, human being, have a capacity. Either goes downward and be below than the animals and cattle, or goes so high even takes, you know, over the angels. إن الله عز وجل ركب في الملائكة عقلا بلا شهوة. Has he created angels with mind, brain, but no instinct, no desires, no physical desire. وركب في البهائم شهوة بلا عقل. While the cattle, the animals, have desires, instinct, but no brain and no mind. وركب في بني آدم كليهما. But in Bani Adam has both. The instinct, the desire, and the mind. Then, فَمَنْ غَلَبَ عَقْلُهُ شَهْوَتَهُ فَهُوَ أَعْلَى مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ وَمَنْ غَلَبَ شَهْوَتُهُ عَقْلَهُ فَهُوَ أَدْنَى مِنَ الْبَهَائِمِ. Someone that his mind leads and take over his desires, then he will be higher than the malaika. Someone who cannot, his desires take over, he will be worse than the cattle. So here Al-Imam Zain al-Abidin says that the ultimate position of my uncle Al-Abbas have surpassed the Malaika, surpassed Jibra'il and Mika'il and Israfil. For this fact, he said that he had a wing, that he was flying with them. So this is the second feature. The third feature, brothers and sisters, it was the payback. You know, al-Banin sacrificed. Al-Abbas sacrificed. Now, who's more generous, the infallible or the non-infallible? The infallible is more generous. So it is the time for Hussein and Zahra to pay back al-Banin. Otherwise, it will be al-Banin who's more generous than Fatima al-Zahra. The narrators say, when does Zahra pays back? They say she pays back on the Day of Judgment, on Yawm al-Qiyamah. At that time, when everybody's there, in the mahshar, they're waiting, a call comes from divine. Says, Ya Ahla al-Mahshar, ghullu absarakum litajuza Fatima al-Sirat. Fatima al-Zahra, the daughter of the Prophet, need to cross the bridge. Get ready. At that time when she was about to cross the bridge, she stops. She says, no. Ya Allah, I'm not going to cross the bridge. What's the problem, Fatima? She said, I will not until you judge between me and those people. I have a grievance in my heart. I have complained. I want to talk about my complaint. Now what do you imagine? Would she talk about her suffering? Will she talk about her broken ribs? Would she talk about the suffering of her husband, Ali ibn Abi Talib? Would she talk about the suffering of Hassan or the beheaded body of Hussein? No, no, she does not. They say she opens a piece, you know, a shroud. She opens that one and takes two amputated forearms of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas and say, Ya Allah, ihkum bayni wa bayna man qata'a hatayn al-yadayn. Take, you judge between those who have cut those two arms of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. This is how she replies to Fatima, to Umm al-Baneen alayha salam. And the last one, brothers and sisters, it is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given al-Abbas, but not for him, rather for us, for the followers of al-Abbas, for those who love al-Abbas. Otherwise, Abbas does not benefit from this. But he made this for us. We are so fortunate that we got this position. We call Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas Bab al-Hawa'ij, meaning the gateway of needs. If you need something, if you are in a bad shape, if you are in distress, with anguish, go to him, he will solve your problem. It is narrated that al-Abbas malja'u kullu malhoof. Whoever goes in distress, in need, Abbas will not return him back empty-handed. ما قصده مكروب إلا كشف الله ما ألم به من المحن. Whoever goes to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him back, will move, will take away the distress from him. Now, Al-Abbas has a shrine. If Al-Abbas was not killed on the riverbank, where would be his burial? The burial will be with the companions of Imam Hussein, in the shrine, in the same shrine of Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam. Remember the overshadow that I was talking about during his life? Again, he will be overshadowed by the position of Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't want that anymore. He wanted that Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas to be killed right away next to the river. So there will be his shrine. So someone like me and you, when we are under distress, under pain, we go to him and we beg him to solve our problems. At that time, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas returns. It is narrated on that day, when everybody was killed, no one was left, Al-Abbas came to Al-Imam alayhi salam, asking for permission to go and fight. Al-Imam Al-Hussein tells him, Ya Akhi, if you want to go and fight, you better go and ask water for those children. Because look, there are 80 children inside the tent, inside the camp, all are declaring Al-Atash, Al-Atash. Go get them some water. Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas take the skin of water and goes toward the battle. Now all of you have heard the story. When he goes inside the river, he picks the river to drink, but then he remembers the thirst of his brother and the thirst of the children. He throws the water. He fills the skin and rides his horse. Comes back quickly. In the meanwhile, he loses his right hand. Still, he grabs the sword and fights until his left hand is broken. It's cut off. At that time he says, Ya nafsu la takhshay min al-kuffari. Wa abshiri bi rahmati al-jabbari. Bi baghihim qad qata'u yasari. Fa aslihim ya rabbi harra al-nari. Still, he's holding to the skin, going as fast as he can until the moment that the arrow penetrates the skin. Now the entire water is splashed. At that time, he stays there. He doesn't know what to do. From one side, he has a promise, Sukaina. He has a promise, the children, that he will get water. If he goes, he will be empty-handed. If he stays, the enemy will kill him. He was waiting at that time. An arrow penetrated his eyes. Someone hit him with the paw right on his hand. He collapses to the ground. He declares, Akhi Adrik Akhad. Al-Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam came. When he came, the narrator said that the first thing Al-Imam Hussein did, a few steps before Al-Abbas, he grabbed two things, kissed them first, held them. When we looked at them, we saw those were the forearms of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas. The blood has covered his face. His head was shattered. His eyes were punctured. He could not see anything. All of a sudden, he notices someone is getting close to him. He thought that one of the enemies who came to butcher him, to slaughter him, beg him, tell him, يَا هَذَا أَقْسَمْتُ عَلَيْكَ بِمَنْ تَعْبُدْ إِلَّا أَمْهَلْتَنِي دَقَائِقَ. Just give me a few minutes. I will die, but just give me a few minutes. What do you want? Imam Hussein tells him, what do you want? He says, أنتظر ابن أخي ابن والدي لأودعه ويودعني. So I can make farewell with my brother. Imam Hussein grabs him, puts his head in his lap. Every time that he puts his head in his lap, Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas removes his head. Doesn't put his head in the lap of his brother. Tells him, brother, why don't you want me? You know, let me keep your head. He said, Akha, my dear Hussein, in a few hours your head will be on the ground. Who's gonna hold your head? Then he wants to grab his brother and take him to the tent. He says, no, Hussein, please leave me die here. I have a promise to Kaina. I have a promise to children that I will go with water, but I don't want to go empty-handed. They will see me as I have broken my promises. Imam Hussein goes back alone. The first one who meets him, Zainab, tells him, Hussein, where's Abbas? Imam Hussein does not say anything, goes to the tent of Abu al-Fadl al-Abbas and removes the pole. The tent collapsed, meaning that the entire camp has collapsed. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Al-Ali al-Azim, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifinaik. وأناخت برحلك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته.